The main thing is to be forced to kill someone and the breaking of my innocence. And to be given a gun. You've never handled a gun before and you're forced to shoot. There's something they call these days kill or be killed. The survival techniques that I had to go through to kill someone. And I still feel guilty about that. And I have to deal with it every day.
The grim reality of life as a child soldier, told there by Grace Akalo, who was kidnapped at the age of 15 from her school dormitory one night by the notorious LRA rebels in Uganda. Like the other captives, she was forced to fight and forced under pain of death to kill other girls who tried to escape and was repeatedly raped by the rebel commanders. After 7 horrific months as a slave of the rebels, Akalo managed to escape and made her way home. Now aged 28, she is studying in Boston and is co-author of a best-selling book about her appalling experience as a child soldier. She is also a leading member of a network of former child soldiers called NYPAW that seeks to give a voice to young people who have been the victims of conflict in this way.
I was among the victims of the rebellion at the age of 8 to 14. In the front line, we fight with the enemy. At the orders I was, I got no choice but to fight.
Akalo was one of the key participants at that symposium on children and armed conflict that was organised in Rome this week by the Italian government, UNICEF and NGOs. She was also part of the delegation that met briefly with Pope Benedict during his audience. But to find out more details of what it actually means to be a child soldier, I spoke to Akalo earlier during a pause in the proceedings of the symposium. I began by asking her to describe her feelings when she was seized by the rebels as she and her classmates lay sleeping in their school dormitory in northern Uganda.
I was scared, but scared is just a word to say, but it was beyond fear because I thought I was going to die. When the rebels were breaking the windows and screaming at us and pointing the AK-47 inside the dome and pointing the grenades inside, I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to be blown up. All my friends were screaming. They were running from one direction to another, urinating all over the place. It was something that is hard to describe at that time.
How did your religious faith help you to endure and survive this ordeal?
Well, before I went to St. Mary's College at Boke, my mother is a Christian. She's a Catholic, but my father is an Anglican Protestant. And I used to follow her to church. I used to follow her, and she would encourage me and say, you know, the fact of the life is we don't have life in our hands. We can die any time. So you have to have faith. But usually as a child, you're like, oh, whatever, who cares? But that day, I remembered my mother's voice was ringing in my ears, like, you have to have faith. This life is a short life. And I started praying. I was like, God, help me, even if I've been a very big sinner, help me. And all the way that I was taken into the bush, I kept praying, and my friends too kept praying. So it was good that we had faith. It was good that I had faith. Otherwise, I would have lost completely.
What was your worst moment, or the worst thing you were asked to do?
Several things. Everything was a worst moment. I was forced to kill, and that's worst enough, because in my life I'd never even beaten someone. I was always scared of touching someone to fight.
Was that in the battle, or was it
just immediately after abduction? We were forced to kill, beat the girl to death. After 2 weeks in captivity, this girl tried to escape, and they called all of us, all the newly abducted children, to beat this girl to death. It was bad. She was 12 years old. And another thing is forcing you to have sex with someone who's older than your father. It takes away the sense of worth that you have in your life.
What are your most lasting wounds then after this dreadful experience?
I learned to forgive, Chile, because I believe that forgiveness makes you go forward, makes you do more things, because if you dwell on what happens to you, then it breaks or it blocks the dreams that you have, the future that you hope to see. So right now, I am on the process of forgiving the people who did all this to me. But at the same time, I feel pain because this horrible things are still going on. This pain are still inflicted on children. So whenever I hear news of abduction, whenever I hear news of killing, it's enough to make me go mad, go feel pain again, like it's happening right there in front of me.
I cry, I feel bad, I feel sad, I feel that with the hand of the world.
Another former child soldier who attended the symposium was Kon Kele, who was seized by SPLA rebels in southern Sudan at the tender age of around 6 or 7. He is also a member of the NYPAW network and is currently studying in the Netherlands. Kelly told me about his experience as a child soldier.
I think I was probably 6 or 7 years old when I was involved in armed conflict.
Do you remember that day?
Tell us.
I do very good, because it was a moment that it was, when it was starting, it was for me very exciting, because the way it happened in some other countries is forced with a gunpoint. But in Sudan, in southern Sudan, we were collected together as children and sent to a center. So the moment that we, all of us, move, all boys, was wonderful.
Thought it was a great adventure.
Yes, but then come the moment after 2 hours walking, and now we want to go back home, but there was no way back, and that was tragic.
What was your worst moment as a child soldier?
My worst moment was after 2 weeks that we were in the camp. One of the child died.
Why? How?
He died of hunger and sickness, name it. And then I wore shoes as one of the children who are going to bury that child. And I never see a dead person. But by then, I have to go and dig the ground, bury that child. And it kept reminding me it was not a moment to be there. I wish I were that child in place of being the digging person.
What was the worst thing you were made to do while you were a child soldier?
I can say luckily enough, I was not forced to kill somebody. But there were these moments that I stand in a position to betray my colleagues who might have did something wrong, and I'm obliged to say he did it. And I know what that child will go through. So these are the moments that you don't want to make, because you know that guy next time is the one who is going to help you, and now you betray him.
An estimated 250,000 children worldwide have been unlawfully recruited to take part in armed conflicts. And some studies I read suggest the problem could be growing. But is this true? And if so, why? A question I put to Radhika Komarasarwamy, the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflicts, and one of the main organisers of the symposium in Rome. Okay, I read that studies suggest that the number of children worldwide forcibly recruited to fight in armed conflicts is on the increase. If that's true, why?
Actually, it's on the decrease. That's a good news. There were supposedly 300,000, and now we're estimating it at 250,000, but these are all guesstimates. And the reason for the decrease is the end of the wars in Sierra Leone and Liberia, which had very large numbers of child soldiers. But still, it's a major problem. It's there in all the, practically all the conflicts around the world, especially internal conflicts.
You come from Sri Lanka, where, of course, as you just said, there are a lot of children who fought, particularly on the side of the Tamil Tigers. Is there an awareness that it's morally wrong to force children to fight in wars?
Well, if there wasn't in the beginning, there was definitely toward the end, because of the activism of groups like UNICEF and others to make it very clear that this is a war crime. And though there was during the peace period and immediately after the peace period, the figures dropped. In the last stages of the war, they were very much on the increase by the LTTE. And also the paramilitary organization in the East also recruited children.
If you could sum up in a few sentences, what's the message you're trying to send through this symposium?
Well, what we're trying to send a message is public awareness on this issue, to push political leaders. There are two kinds of things we want from political actors. One is the political will to implement international frameworks, and the second is the political will to fund programs by our partners that help to reintegrate children back into their communities. We find that we need to implement the Paris principles fully, and we need the support of the international community to do so.
What are some of the worst experiences the child soldiers have had to endure? I mean, I'm sure you've come across stories or anecdotes told to you. If you could maybe just share with us one of them.
Well, on child soldiers, you heard Grace's story. Well, I had a story of Moy, for example, whom I met, who was playing with his friend in his home when the LRA came and abducted him, took him away, and then his friend couldn't make it to the campsite, so he tripped and fell, so they killed the friend right in front of him. He became a part of this group. He was forced to raid his own villages and attack his own families, and then he escaped finally and joined UNICEF. And when he met me, he said, "Well, what can I do, madam? Well, the only thing I can do is fight now."
I was speaking to Radhika Komaraswamy, the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict. And earlier you heard the testimony of Grace Akolo and Kon Kele, both former child soldiers.